Welcome back to another episode of That's Gonna Cost Ya. And first off, what are you guys thinking of the glasses? Cute. I think I've unlocked like a whole new personality with these because my good friend, I have a few friends, but one specifically that like, when I say I have a few friends, I mean like I have a few friends that run, love to run. This one specifically though, like this man runs like twice a day, every day. He's just a maniac, right? Today he ran 18 miles actually. But I was considering like running. I remember the other day, it was a Wednesday, I was like in a different part of town and there's this yogurt shop that's in there and it's honestly so good. I haven't been there in forever. So I went, I got some frozen yogurt, you know, I was big backing it up, like whatever. I hadn't worked out that day yet. So I was like, I really don't want to go to the gym because it's rush hour and it's always so busy there. I'd rather go in the morning, but I also wanted to get some type of workout in. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go run. But I haven't ran in super long. Like I work out often, like 4 to 5 times a week. Usually if I do cardio, it's like the stairs or boxing or something like that. So I haven't ran in like probably over a year, to be honest, maybe even longer. So I texted my friend. I was like, hey, I'm about to go on a run. What do I do? So he's like, I'll just go with you. So me and him went and we went to one of the local parks. He's like, one lap is 1 mile. So we'll just see how you do. I was like, okay, cool. So I have my headphones ready. You know, we started stretching, whatever. We get going. I'm about to put my headphones on. He starts talking. I'm like, what are you talking for? I'm like, why are you talking right now? I'm like, do you not realize like when you run, like you're gonna be out of breath, you know? But honestly, the conversation was giving. So I was like, fuck it, let's talk. So we started, like we ran the first lap, we talked the entire time. The mile time was like 9 minutes and like 45 seconds, which wasn't bad. Like, and I had no problem running. So then we took like a little walk break, which he doesn't usually do. But you know me, I'm like, I'm getting back into it. We ran like 2.5 miles, but overall it was pretty good. Like we almost talked the entire time. And I was like, ooh, I might have just unlocked another personality. But I really do love like the Oakley glasses that everyone has been getting. Like, I'm like, fuck, any excuse to get these things, to be honest. So I went and I got them earlier. And also, I've been watching, I mean, if you guys are on Netflix, which majority of you are, there's this docuseries called Sprint. And oh my fucking God, it's so good. It's honestly genius because the 2024 Olympics are like here. And it was such a good promo for it because now you're going to be watching for all of these people. But like it covers like people like Sharika Jackson from Jamaica, Sha'Carri Richardson from the U.S., Noah Lyles from the U.S., like all these different like elite competitors in the sprinting world and the track and field world. And it covers their stories and it covers like all the different events that they had to do like 2022, 2023 leading up to the Olympics and like getting to that point. And it's just a fucking vibe, bro. It just makes you want to go run. Like this is how I was when I was younger, is I would like watch docuseries like that or a documentary or like just something really motivational that just gets you inspired and think that I could go and do it like the next day. So I remember one time I was working out at the gym. I was in community college. I was on the treadmill and I was running and I was trying to like up the speed. Like I did it like however fast I could. I thought I was fucking like lightning. So I go to the track and field coach the next day at the school. I'm like, I want to be on the team. He's like, it's not that simple. You got to like train with us, la la la. So I started training with them. And like, anyways, long story short, I quit. Which I hate admitting. Like I hate doing things and then quitting. I literally fucking hate it. But when you're younger, I think it's important. Like you see something, it looks interesting, and you go and you pursue it. And then you figure out from there, do I really like it? Am I willing to put in the work to get there? Like if you are literally like the worst on the team or the worst in that space, or like you're at the very rock bottom, it's a matter of like, am I willing to do the steps necessary of what all these other people have done in order to get to where they are or potentially surpass them? And if the answer is no, then you probably have your, you know, your answer. You're not going to continue. Like for me, I would see all the work that they had to put in and like the time and the effort associated with it, and I just was not willing to do that. And that's a lot of different things that I feel like throughout my life I've seen, is like I'll want to pursue something and then I'll see how much time and effort it took to get there and I'm like, no. But there's other things that are like, maybe I don't see the time and effort it takes, but I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just like, when it happens, it happens. And I think that's also a good mindset to have. But like I said, like when you're pursuing things and you start training for something or you start learning something or you start doing something, and then from there, you'll know, like, is this even, am I even enjoying this? Like, you're not necessarily forced to do it, right? Like, it's different if maybe you're going to school and you want to become a doctor or a dentist or a vet or, you know, whatever. Like, maybe you don't necessarily like the schoolwork. Maybe you don't necessarily like the labs or, like, whatever else you have to do. But you know that the end result is there and that's worth it to you. For me, the end result was I didn't have an end result. That's probably what my problem was with track and field. I was, like, I was just so hyped up off of motivation that it didn't last. Motivation doesn't last, right? It's like a matter of, you know, that long-term goal, the why, if you may, that will keep you going when you don't want to continue. Like, I have something that I'm pursuing right now that I'm really not talking about just because I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I want to bring, anyways, okay. I was like, I don't even know if I want to talk about it on pod, but it's okay. But there is something that I, like, there's this big goal that I have that literally no one knows about. Actually, it's funny because when I went to the Bay Area last week with some of my girlfriends, these are like my close friends since like high school, some of them since middle school. And my girlfriend, I haven't seen her in a while. She's like, hey, are you still thinking about doing this? I'm like, when did I tell you that? I'm like, there's no fucking way I told you that. How do you know that? She's like, bro, I swear after Pilates last year, she was like, after Pilates last year, you said you were considering doing this. And I was like, why do you remember that? Please get that out of your head. But what's crazy is I am pursuing it. Like, I'm actually, like, doing it. And I was like, fuck. Like, I'm the type of person, and if you guys have been watching the podcast at all, I was a stripper for 4 years and didn't tell a single soul. The only people that knew were one of my friends who was also a dancer. So, you know, we were coworkers. And then my ex-boyfriend, because, you know, we were together. Like, obviously, he's going to wonder, like, why the fuck are you out every single night so late? And nobody knew. Like, not a soul. And I'm very, like, protective over the things that are important to me, I feel like. So for that, I was like, bro, what? So I just started, I was like, you know what? You already know it. Like, whatever. And I had one of my other good girlfriends in the car, too. And I'm just like, just, you guys, keep it to yourself. Like, not that I don't want people to know. That's not what it is at all. It's just more like I like to keep things close to me that are important to me. And I don't really want people questioning me. You know what I mean? So I was like, there's something that I'm trying to do. And it's, like, very, very difficult. Like, it's, if I think about it, it's super difficult. But when I think about why I'm doing it, it's easy, if that makes sense. So it's like, it's just a matter of continuing to take those steps and pursue the things that are important to me. And like I said, even though this is forever ago with the track and field thing, I just didn't have like a real reason why. I think I just was on the fucking treadmill. I was listening to a fire ass song. I thought I could go 100 miles per hour. I'm like, fuck it, we're gonna do this. But I hate running. Like, first of all, I hate running. I don't like being in the fucking heat all day. Like, I don't want to be throwing up. I pushing myself like hella hard on the track is like, bro, that is such a difficult sport. Like, I know I say that about a lot of things, but like, that's so tough. Like, these people dedicate their entire lives to get somewhere. Who am I to come in and think that I'm going to do anything just because I ran fast on a treadmill once when I was really motivated? Like, you know, it's just sometimes you have to be more realistic with things. And I feel like as we get older, we do. Not that you can't still be optimistic. I think being optimistic is so important and, like, you know, looking on the bright side, if you may. But also being realistic, right? And, like, actually having clear action steps and realistic goals. I mean, you can have like crazy goals, but realistic steps to get to that goal, because it's not just going to happen, right? You can like want to do the craziest things, but if you don't have the habits to incorporate into it and you don't have an actual desire and a why behind it, it's almost never going to happen, right? And I feel like that's one of the other things that I was thinking about when I was at the gym earlier. I was like, I was working out and I was literally loving it. I was like, I love working out. But it wasn't always like that. Like, I would feel like I'd have to constantly push myself to get into the gym, constantly push myself to, like, do these extra things. But now that I'm a little bit older, I'm like, this is easy. Like, this is all I have to do is show up, like, make sure I have my exercises ready, eat decently, which I can do by ordering, like, meal preps, having good food in the home, whatever. And I was like, why am I so disciplined? Like, what is this? And I even take it back to when I was dancing. I'm like, I don't even think I was that disciplined when I was dancing. Like, I'm the most disciplined I've ever been right now, I believe. Because when I was dancing, I was disciplined in the sense that I had my routine prior to walking into work. And I worked a lot, right? So it was more of like, that was my discipline. But everything besides that, like, I had my goals and I had my things that I would do, but I wasn't disciplined in like other areas of my life. Like, I wasn't necessarily disciplined with money. I wasn't disciplined with working out. Like, I had a very one-off schedule because I was always so tired from working, like tired from the night before. I'd get invited to certain things, or I'd have some plays. Like, so I don't think I was that disciplined. I really don't. I think I was disciplined when it came to work. I was disciplined when it came to my routine right before work, like just making sure makeup was done, hair was done, had a Red Bull in my hand, had a fruit snack. Like, literally, that is what I mean by discipline, like a little ritual before work. That is a discipline because it would get me in the right state of mind. But other parts of my life, I'm not gonna say it was a fucking mess. Like, I think I did handle it pretty well, but I'm so disciplined now. And I find it, like, I always question, like, why? Why am I so disciplined? It's crazy. But it's just a matter of figuring out what you want, taking the steps to get there by incorporating certain habits that are going to help you. Like, I even talked about this on one of the last pods, is when I was on the road for like a month and I was in the process of going to see my mom, I was traveling, like I drove cross country to go see her. Even when I was driving cross country, like 13-hour drive days, I still was able to do my daily habits no matter where I was, no matter what week it was, which is working out on a consistent basis, reading, like doing just like my daily disciplines, like handling emails and work stuff and things like that. Like, those are things that are easy to do, but also easy not to do. So I feel like that is, I think it comes with age, but it also comes with, you know, getting realistic with yourself in terms of, okay, if I really want something, like, I cannot continue to let it pass me by. And speaking of running earlier, go ahead. Okay. Speaking of running earlier, I was going to ask this question. I was actually supposed to have a friend on the podcast today, which is why my aesthetic is like glasses on. I look a little bit like a douchebag, you know, or like a little workout outfit, because my friend that I was going to have on always dresses up very like professional and he's very like intellectual. So I'm like, I think that would be a good like aesthetic for the pod, but he didn't fucking show up. He didn't even text me to tell me like what type of fucking tomfoolery is that. And honestly, like, I told my little crush this, we were on FaceTime like a couple days ago, and I was like, you want to know like one of my biggest pet peeves, or we were talking about like something, and I was like, yeah, one of my biggest pet peeves, or I have two. My biggest one for sure though is people that don't do what they say they're gonna do, or they don't give you a heads up. Like, if you say you're gonna do something, do it. If you commit to going somewhere, go. If you like are supposed to do something, just fucking do it. And it's okay to cancel. It is not okay to flake or ghost. Like, I think that people don't have enough intention, or maybe people are scared of confrontation, which is fine. But if you're scared of confrontation, it just maybe is because you don't know how to word things a certain way. So for me, last pod, last week, I was like so frustrated with some work stuff, and I was literally going to respond to a text message in the moment, and I was like, no, I need to fucking calm down, relax, and then normally I'll come back and I'll respond in a more professional manner, or if I really need advice on how to articulate a paragraph or like a response, I'll actually reach out to one of my ex, because he is like so well put together when it comes to responding to people and not taking things personal and just like articulating things a certain way. Because I feel like, yes, people can be, I'm even sometimes when it comes to confrontation, I don't want to deal with it. But I think that that's important, because without confrontation, it creates resentment, it creates problems, it creates like animosity. So when I'm wanting to confront someone, it's just a matter of knowing what to say and how to say it in a way that isn't going to cause more problems, right? So if you're going in with like an intention, I think that that's the most important thing. So when I see a lot of people in our day and age, and I'm totally guilty of this, I'm not fucking perfect here, right? But I see so many people ghosting people, or like, and it's different if it's like a random fucking person that's in your DMs, you maybe respond to them once or twice and then you just never respond again. That's fucking like, obviously, let's have some common sense here. That's obviously not a big deal. But if you're like talking to someone kind of heavy, like maybe y'all have went on a few dates, like whatever, if you are not feeling them, or like you don't think that it's going to go anywhere, or they're trying to give you some energy that you cannot match or meet, I think it's important to be intentional about not just relationships, anything in your life. So if you want to do something, or if you want to pursue someone, or you want to, like, you have a goal, it's very important to be intentional about those things. And as we get older, you just have to be more and more intentional, or it's never going to come. And like going out there and actually putting, I mean, obviously putting things out into the universe, which I don't like to get too much into like manifestation or anything like that, but just being intentional with everything that you do, because when you're intentional, things are more organized, things are more clear, more like you somehow get more lucky, right? Like in a sense. So that's what I would say about that. I don't even know how we got there. What the hell? We're just fucking going right now. But I was, one of the questions I was going to ask my friend, here we go. My biggest pet peeve, not doing what the fuck you say you're going to do. That's a big pet peeve. And I think it would be for anyone. So I definitely don't appreciate that. I'm going to let him know. I'm not going to like cut him off, right? Like we're still friends. But at the same time, I need him to understand, like, if you respected me, you would tell me. You would be straight up, right? You would tell me you can't make it. Because if it was you and I told you I was going to be somewhere, I would be there. Or I would tell you that I can't make it for a reason. And even if the reason was I'm not going to make it because I don't feel comfortable being on a podcast right now, or I don't feel like I'm in the best headspace, that's my reason, then I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't make it. My dog just started like shitting out of nowhere. Like, I mean, obviously if that was the case, you know, but I feel like, you know, if you really, like, for example, I'm going on a Tahoe trip this next week, and I am supposed to be driving down there Thursday night, but I kind of really want to go Friday, but I do have someone coming in my car with me. Now, I know that I could probably adjust things and, like, I don't think my friend would mind too much, but in my head, I'm like, why do I want to go Friday? Because I just don't want to go Thursday. But it's like, it's not about me. My friend booked this entire trip. He got us like amazing tickets to this event. Like, he has all these people coming together. It's very important to him. And it's important that I show up for him and not be selfish in the sense of, oh, I don't really want to go Thursday. I want to go Friday. Like, first of all, someone else is riding in my car. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a responsibility there, and it's not always about you. And it's a matter of like adjusting things as needed, or, you know, just, if you wanted to make it happen, you would, period. That's it. If I needed, like, if I'm like, oh, my dog can't, I can't get a sitter for my dog. Well, I should have figured that shit out earlier. Like, it's really one of those things, you know, just being responsible, because I don't want him to have to tell me that. He doesn't need to tell me that. I can tell myself that, right? But it came down to like, okay, my friend's not here. Got it. Great. One of the questions I was going to ask him, because, you know, I have my running glasses on, what is your Achilles heel? And when I say your Achilles heel, what is your downfall? And I actually got asked that question one time, so it really hit me. And it was like, what is going to be the reason why you don't get everything you've ever wanted because of this one thing you won't change? And I think I mentioned it on one of the podcasts, is it might have been my drinking and the desire to want to spend time with friends that aren't necessarily, like, not saying that they're not doing anything, it's just all we're gonna do when we go out is like drink and party and have a good time and like lust over people. Like, that's literally what it is, right? Like, let's call it what it is. And I would say that it isn't necessarily drinking, because I don't drink it like home by myself or anything. I don't even really drink wine. Like, maybe if I'm having like a nice dinner and I have wine in the house, maybe. But I'm a very social drinker, and I've recently like declined it quite a bit, like especially when I went out to see my mom, and like before that I like was not drinking at all. And then when I came back, you know, I was kind of like going out with friends more, and I could feel myself somehow getting back into that like weekend routine of like going out and la la la, and, you know, but I'm also like, it's okay to be a social drinker, but it's not okay to neglect your responsibilities and like not get shit done or push it off just because you want to go drink with your friends, right? Like, if I want to go out and I want to have a good time, I have to finish this and that first. So I used to think that that was my biggest downfall. But before we started the pod today, I was reading one of my old reflections, because when I danced, I used to write a reflection every single night after I worked, every night. It literally didn't fail. I'm pretty sure I have like over 400 entries. Like, it's actually insane. So it didn't matter how drunk I was, how hungover I was, how sober I was. It didn't matter. Like, I always wrote my reflection. It progressed later on, like into the second year, where I started putting the amount that I made that night and then the reflection and like kind of just breaking it down. But one of the reflections that I actually was just reading before we started the pod was a reflection from the summer of 2019. But that doesn't make sense because this shit must have been in 2020. It's like actually very traumatic. I have never talked about it. I wasn't even working that night, but it was a reflection from 2020 because I had went out. I lived in Dallas at the time. I had went out with like one of my dancer friends who, again, like I had met her while I lived in Dallas. We worked at the same club. She knew that I never told anyone that I danced. So she also kept it cool, like when she was around like my building and like people that I lived in the same apartment complex with and like friends and stuff. But then there was this person that lived in my building. Let's just call him B. Me and my friend took him out that night, like to the clubs and stuff. And I always had like this big, like, even when I was dancing, I'm like, after we go out, let's go to the strip club. Let's go throw some money, like la 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 la. And it's like, I just enjoyed doing that because I like had so much fun in that environment. Like if I literally like work at a club and still want to go back to another club, like a different club to go hang out with strippers, like you can tell I really did enjoy like that shit, you know, in that environment. I still do. But that whole night ended up going like absolutely south. It put such a mental toll on me. It was so bad. It was such a bad night. I have not talked about it. And I don't know if I will, because I don't even know how to respond to this reflection. Like, I started reading it and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm gonna say. So long story short, majority of the problems in my life have been caused because I always feel the need to be in control and have things my way. And I would say that I want to take it back to like my childhood and say, oh, you know, as a kid, I never got my way, which is not true. I'm very persistent though. Like if I can take control of a situation, I will, or have things my way, I will. So for example, that night, I wanted everything to be in my control. I wanted everything to be my way. And when it wasn't, I was quick to like leave and it all just kind of like went downhill from there. Like it's more of like when I'm feel like I need to be in control, I feel like I'm entitled. And I'm not even trying to do like the, oh, I do this because, you know, like I should have this because I just said I should have it. No, it's more of like I think that I know what's best, and that's not always the case. So as a kid, I would say like I didn't always get what I wanted, and as an adult, I feel like I should be able to just like take what's mine, or I should be able to, you know, if no one else is going to take responsibility of the situation, no one else is going to step up, I'm going to have to. And if I do it, then I should be able to control it too, right? Like if I'm the one taking responsibility, if I'm the one planning everything, why the fuck do you guys have a say? But that's also not very like nice of me, right? Like I've just learned like that is my Achilles heel for sure, is having to have control over everything. And if things don't go my way, just prepare for bitchy Rachel to appear. Like just prepare for a raging cunt. And I'm making myself sound so bad, but I really don't think I'm, maybe in my head, like I'm over here like cussing somebody out in my fucking head. Like I'm like calling my ex up, fucking screaming over the phone, cussing, like, you know, because that's like one person I know would never like judge me. But I've also gotten a lot better because of things like the reflection, making all these mistakes, embarrassing myself, having these traumatic events happen, which I would never wish on anyone. But for me, because I'm stubborn and I have to like constantly fuck up over and over and over again to realize, Rachel, stop doing this shit, that's why I now am like a lot better. Like if something doesn't happen, fuck it, that's fine. If something doesn't go my way, it is what it is. Like I'm not over here just saying like, oh, I'm just gonna let anything happen. That's not the case. But like when people, like, for example, my friend flaked, like, I'm not necessarily happy about it. I'm not going to cry about it either. Like, I understand to a certain point, but I'm going to make sure his ass knows. But I'm not going to fucking resent him forever for it. I'm just going to note it, right? Or, like, for example, I had a friend who they, but I've just noticed that that is my Achilles heel, was, like, the ability to have control over everything. Same thing when I was a dancer. Like, I think I got fired from majority, almost every single spot that I've ever worked at, because of the simple fact that I have to have things go my way. And if they don't, there's going to be problems. You can control yourself. You can control what you say to a certain extent, right? I mean, sometimes things slip out, but that's why you gotta drill it, right? Like, you literally have to drill this shit. You have to drill it over and over and over and over and over again. And one of the reasons why I also feel like I got, it's like a mix though. So I said that alcohol might have been my Achilles heel, my FOMO, fear of missing out, but it's also control. Mix those two together. Oh, fuck no. Fuck no. It's problems. Okay. That was what the strip club was. Mix of alcohol and a mix of a dude trying to disrespect you and not like pay the fuck up. Like, oh, it's Hurricane Rachel, like legitimately. And that would get me fired from majority of spots. But why would I get rehired? Because of all the other good qualities, right? And I'm not even trying to hype myself up here, but I remember, okay, one of the clubs that I worked at, this is like a very strict club, okay? They don't play no games. This is in Vegas. And anyone that is a dancer in Vegas, anyone that has been in Vegas, they know this club. We all know this club. It's one of the best clubs. They have like a 6-hour minimum for all the dancers. That's like something that none of the other clubs have. Like, you have to be there for a minimum of 6 hours. They have shifts, which you're an independent contractor. You should be able to come and go whenever you want. Like, usually there's a day shift and a night shift. This one is like time blocks. Like, you can come in at this time or you can come in at this time. Or they'll give you like, you can only come in at this time. You cannot be more than 30 minutes late. Like, they are very strict. They run a tight ship. And one of the main guys, and everyone knows this guy, he is like so straightforward, so honest, so blunt. Lose some weight. That's what he says. He'll be like, you need to lose some weight. You need to fix this. Like, you need to fucking get yourself together. Like, he's just very honest. He doesn't give a fuck, you know? And he's cool. Like, I liked him. I kind of liked the personality. I wasn't one of his favorites because I didn't meet like the type of like look that he likes technically. Like, I wasn't like, and thank God, because I heard that if you're one of his girls, like, I don't know what the fuck they be doing, you know? So it's like, I never try to get too close, but I remember I had gotten fired from that club like end of 2021. And I had to literally spend almost a year trying to go back every other month in order to get it back. I finally got my job back a month before I was going to quit. I already knew I was quitting the industry. But that was literally my goal. Like, get back in that club, enjoy the last like however many weeks that I have it, and just be able to say I did it and I left in good graces. And I remember during that time, during the whole year that I was trying to get my job back, I had multiple run-ins with him because I had to go and try to re-audition and plead my case. I even got to, like, I sat down with the owner. Like, the owner, like, that is clearly how much, like, ability I feel like I had to somehow, like, get myself back in that door. Like, anyway, so I went and I re-auditioned. He had me, like, you dress in a two-piece. You literally walk out. You don't audition on a pole. Nothing like a normal strip club. They make you walk to the door and back. That's it. You're either hired or you're not. And, walked there and back, and he was like, me and him were talking, and he's like, why'd you get fired? Like, remind me again, la la la, like, tell me about what you've changed, you know. And he's like, this is before I got to talk to the owner, I think. I'm my timeline might be a messed up, but he was like, I'm gonna talk to the owner or the other like general manager, and he's gonna try to vouch for me. He was like, I'm gonna try to vouch for you. You obviously have an attitude, like, you have a little bit of an attitude problem, but he said, you're very pretty and you've got a great personality. And I was like, bro, what? Like, he's never given me a compliment ever, ever, ever. I was like, bro, what? Like, when he said that, I was like, I know I've got something. Like, and I was like, obviously I'm quitting the industry, but I know, like, wherever I go, I'm gonna succeed. Like, it's really just a matter of that, right? And I just have to get these things tweaked. Because once I tweak these things and I can control them better, it's like game over. Like, there's nothing I can't do. And another thing too is like when you're kind of coming up and like you're starting to get into the routine of things and you start to feel more comfortable in your environment and your business and your work and in your relationships, whatever, there's some part of an ego that evolves. And I feel like that's also what I'm kind of seeing now in my business is I try to keep the confidence and the cockiness very separate. So like there's an ego in a sense of like, I know I'm the best at what I do. Like I know we offer the best service, the best product. Like I know that we offer, you know, like we stand on business, like period, right? Like that's what I'm over here. Like that's my ego in a sense, but it's also my confidence. But I'm never trying to not let people come in and give me advice or like try, I'm trying to learn something. And I have to kind of remind myself that because there's always things that you can learn. There's always things that you can improve upon. And things are always changing too, especially in the business world. So you have to be able to stay competitive and stay on top of it. But yeah, the Achilles heel for sure. Like literally, if that was anything I was going to ask my friend is, what's your Achilles heel? Like, what's your downfall? What is going to be the reason why you don't obtain every single thing that you've ever wanted to? Because you're not able to identify and change this one, two, three things, whatever they are. And it could be multiple, but I think my biggest thing was control. And I'm still learning to do that. And I like how you mentioned, Izzy, you had said, you know, being able to control your emotions. I have a friend that I used to be in a sales company with back in like 2017, 2016. He's still in like that same industry, crushing it, like married with a kid. Like he's, maybe they have two now, I don't know, but like he just is crushing it in his space, right? And one of the things we would always sit down and talk to each other about just like life and business and things like that. And he said he reads a lot and he was reading one of the books. I can't remember which one, but he just said like the person that can control their emotions controls their destiny. Like if you can learn to control your emotions, like everything is within reach, because a lot of people let their ego or their emotions or their entitlement or their control take over everything else. And that's how you burn bridges, you burn relationships, you make mistakes, you do things out of spite, you do things out of pettiness. And I think one of the hardest things to control your emotions in, not just business, because business you can make it like very, like it's not personal, almost never. Sometimes it can get personal. I don't think I've experienced that yet. Actually, I might have, like in my old sales company, definitely got personal. But like in my business, I've rarely ever take things personal because people don't really know me. Like they just see business Rachel, right? I think the hardest thing to control your emotions with, it's not even business, it's not work, it's not really family, it's love. Bro, that, I don't know what the fuck. Like I literally do not know what happens and why. I'd love to have like a love expert or a relationship expert, because as I get older, I'm starting to feel like more of like that want for love, like an actual real relationship, because I feel like the ones that I've been in the past, like my first two real ones, I'm not even going to talk about like anyone that I was talking to heavily after a real relationship. No. Like someone that I was actually like locked in with. Again, I was pretty young. Like my last relationship ended, I think, when I was 21. So I'm 26 now, right? All these relationships, these two, I was super young. And I knew like deep down, this isn't who I'm going to be with, even though they were both phenomenal people, still are amazing people, still my friends to this day, still catch up with them to this day. They're gonna make whoever their girlfriends are, whoever their wives are, whoever they get together with, whoever they marry, is going to be so fucking lucky. Like these are amazing people, but I just knew that they weren't my person. And I never really valued a intimate relationship because I was so focused on like getting myself to where I saw myself, getting myself to where I need to be. And a lot of the times when you have this like vision for your life, when you have a vision like bigger than life, or you have a goal bigger than like what you could ever imagine or what other people could imagine, it's very hard, if especially if you're pursuing it and you're actually getting close to attaining it, you're gonna grow. Like you're going to evolve, you're going to continue to defy the odds. And if your partner, especially if you've been with them for a while and they've seen you on this journey, if they aren't doing the same thing or elevating with you, it can be difficult to bring them with you. Now, they can support you along the way. Like, they can be there for you. But I feel like there's just something that happens to where it's like you obtain new things, so new opportunities come along, you meet new people, you build new relationships, and you just kind of realize that they aren't going to, maybe they're just not, it's not, they're no longer, I'm not, trying to like word this the best way possible. They just don't fit in that picture anymore, which is kind of fucked up. But at the same time, it's like you have to establish those things prior, right? Like I remember with the last guy that I talked to, he had asked me like what my goals were. By the way, I never thought I'd fucking see him again. I met him when I was out on a trip. We had a little hookup. Like I didn't think I was ever gonna talk to him again. So he's like, so what are some of your goals? I gave him some of my biggest goals, like some of my like long-term goals. And it was like real quick things like, oh, I want to do this, this, and that. I will. I said, don't worry, I will. And he was like, he just like kind of like took it in. He's like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And then we actually ended up talking for real. And it just like, I just realized this isn't like, I don't know. I think he just realized like, maybe he's just not ready. I don't know. I'm kind of getting off track, but love is fucked up. It's just like such an emotional thing. And yeah, I'd love to have a relationship expert on here because people just act irrational as fuck when they're in love. It's such like a crazy feeling, you know? And it takes time to kind of get out of that like that cloud nine or like that honeymoon phase. It can take a while. And then if it starts to decline, that's even more emotions. And that's even more like hurt and overthinking. And like I even have someone that I'm interested in, and I find myself throughout the day, like not that I'm like really like want something with them, but because it's new and it's fresh and it's a little fun, like it's not even serious at all. Like it's literally not, it's just fun. Like I just enjoy talking to them. I find myself like kind of thinking about them throughout the day sometimes. I'm like, ew, let me fucking stop. But sometimes you can't help it. So a part of me wants to be like, let me just cut this person off. But then I'm like, why? Like, I'm enjoying this feeling. They really aren't distracting me. If anything, I'm distracting myself. Like, just by thinking about them. But I think that's okay. It's okay to enjoy someone's company, enjoy someone's, like, you know, the thought of someone. I think once it gets to a point where I really, like, if I really do like someone, I need to know, like, what's going on. And I talked about this on the last one, but I've been doing such a good job in regards to just, like, doing nothing. Like the best thing you can do as someone who's interested in someone, but you don't know if they're interested in you, like you can obviously put yourself out there a little bit, but the best thing you can absolutely do if this person knows you exist is nothing. Literally nothing. I promise you, because I was interested in someone and they weren't giving me no energy, and I just decided to like I was actually going to message them and say like, hey, it was great meeting you. No, I'm not going to say that, because then I'm opening. You met me too. Like, you know what I mean? Like you met me. I met you. I gave you some energy. You gave me some energy, but you didn't give me enough. You didn't give me the energy that I need, that I want, that I like. So therefore we're cool. Like when I'll see you when I see you, but I'm not pursuing you because what's the point? I don't even want to put myself out there. And it's like, I'm not really looking for anything anyway. Why? You know, it's just more of like wanting the attention, right? And I can be honest and say that. So they had like messaged me on some like random stuff like a couple weeks ago. I was like, see what I did? I did nothing. And then they ended up, they know I exist. They know I'm there. They've met me. They know I'm interested. If they're interested too, they'll reach out. So, but at the same time, like if you are like on that type of time and you do want someone, like I have a good guy friend, and he does want love, like he's looking for a partner, you know, and obviously we talk about it all the time, like, hey, are you ready for that? Like, are you happy with yourself? Because when two happy people come together that already both have their shit together, if you're happy in your life and what you're doing and you're pursuing things, or like, you know, you have everything going for yourself, and then this person has everything going for themselves and they're also happy with themselves, you two come together, you're like unbreakable, unbeatable. It's like literally a recipe for a phenomenal relationship. But when you come like this person's kind of like hurt, they're working on themselves, they don't really have everything together, they don't know what they want to do, they're kind of going through you know, whatever they are in their life, and then you over here, it's like you're pretty established, you have a lot going for yourself, you know what you want, you know what you value, you know what your intentions are, you two come together, you can never make someone happy. Only they can do that. They have to make themselves happy first. You can obviously like fill a, like play a role in their life in helping them get to that level of like happiness and like, you know, supporting them in their dreams and helping them figure out what they want to do. But at the end of the day, like if somebody's not happy with themselves, they have to be happy with themselves before they can have someone else that they can share that happiness with. You know what I mean? So it's like I saw myself kind of like that with my last person. Is we were like, I think we were good together, and I had my own things I needed to work on, but I did feel like I was really happy with myself and like where I was going and like what I had going on. But he was in a transition period, and I was willing to like be with him throughout that period. But I think it just kind of caught up, like, because I used to not think I was picky at all. Like, I really didn't think I was picky. I thought I was the problem. Like, I'm the problem. Like, I'm too controlling. I don't like PDA. I don't, like, want you posting. Like, I want it very private. And this, again, I was younger, like, 21 and below, okay? So it's like, now I'm older. It's obviously different. But before, I'm like, I'm the problem. But now that I find myself being more open-minded to somebody or something, I find myself like, I'm actually picky as fuck. Like, I do feel like I'm picky. Now, I don't have a checklist. I'm not going to say I have a checklist and I'm being like, oh, if you don't have this, I'm not fucking with you. That's not it. But it's like, sometimes I just need that like unspoken connection. And I feel like that's very hard to find, because a lot of people now are like dating to marry, or they are kind of in a rush to like get it going because, you know, we're about to hit 30. And they're just kind of like, if you meet this, this and that, like, great, let's do it. Which some people are like, you know, if you guys agree on these things, like you agree on like, you know, how the kids should be raised, you agree on finances, you agree on religion, you agree on goals, and you guys are both attracted to each other, that sounds great, right? But for me, like, there's been so many people that I've met to where it's like, oh, I could see you being a great partner. Like, you could be a great life partner, but there's not an unspoken connection. For me, I literally have to feel like this unspoken connection with someone to even want to pursue anything. Like, I don't know what it is. I could be completely like to the science. Like, the science is telling me, like, Rachel, that's not like how, you know, relationships work. But for me, it's all about an unspoken connection. And I think I had that with the last person. But because I did then have my requirements, or I had the things that I needed and desired, and they weren't able to show me that or provide that, I had to let them go. And that's also a part of the discipline. Like, that shit hurts so fucking bad. It was so painful. But I would have rather cut shit off ASAP and like not, and just like leave it there and deal with that pain how it was right there, rather than waste years of my life with someone that's never going to get to where I need them to get. And they're going to be great for someone else one day, especially when they like have everything together and, you know, they're past whatever they're going through. They're going to be phenomenal, I'm sure. But for me, I'm not willing to wait, and I'm not willing to compromise my goals and what I have planned to bring you up. Because even if I do, like, you still may not do what I need you to do. You know, I'm not your fucking mom. And that's just the mean girl in me. But that's just the bluntness. I'm not fucking mean. But yeah, I think I don't know.
Is it a gut feeling, you think, for you?
I think it's a gut feeling. Like, so the thing about it is, the like, I can have a gut feeling like this is my person, but then I can also have a gut feeling that they're lying behind my back. Like, which gut feeling do you follow? Like, I had a gut feeling, like, maybe it wasn't even a gut feeling. Like, sometimes it's like in your head, or it's like just the delusion, and it's like, ooh, I think they make me want to get married, they make me want to have kids. Like, the maybe the persona and the characteristics and like the way that they carry themselves makes me think that, but I can find that in someone else. If you aren't coming correct and you aren't doing the things that I need, like, okay, I could love like Bob, like, I mean, Bob, what the fuck, why would I use that name? Let's use a sexy name. What's a good sexy name? Ricardo. Ricardo. Manuel. Okay, Manuel. Okay, let's say Manuel has, like, he's got a nice big chest, he's tatted up, he's loyal, he's sexy, he stands on business. Like, he's funny. He's overall a great guy. But we date, and he can't provide me with any of the emotional support, any of the regular support, any of the time. He can't give me words of affirmation. He's not willing to, like, be romantic, maybe write a little love letter, get some fucking flowers. Like, if he can't do those things, it doesn't fucking matter if he's loyal, if he's tatted up, if he's tall, if he's, like, got, if he's rich, if he's got everything in the world going for him. If you can't provide me what I need, not saying that I can't provide you with what you need, I absolutely probably can if I really, like, care about you, right? But if you can't provide me with my what I need, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, you could be fucking Michael B. Jordan. You could be goddamn Leonardo DiCaprio. But it doesn't matter if you aren't giving me what I need. And that's probably what I would say about the last person. Was, yeah, it's a gut feeling. You know what? I like these characteristics. That's a gut feeling. I love these characters. I'm in love with these characteristics. I'm in love with this persona. But I can't bring myself to continue to pour my energy and efforts into someone who I can't even trust. You know what I mean? So that's a gut feeling. I'd say that. Okay, so I'm going to finish up by just reading you guys this quote. And it's actually from Alex Hormozi's direct page, because, you know, everybody's, like, reposting Alex Hormozi all the time. But this one is, like, it says controversial take, but I really don't think it's that controversial with, like, where the world is right now and just kind of, like, relationship culture. Not even, like, it has to be intimate, but, of course, like I said, you know, like, any type of relationship, whether it be business, family, friends. Controversial take. I have a one-strike policy for people I've known less than a year. If you do anything weird or dramatic within a year, I don't need to see the story play out. I know how it ends. If someone shows you their true colors, believe them the first time. And that's what I should have done with this last person and with lots of people, like lots of people. If you show me your true colors, I don't need to continue to, like, see shit play out and give you the benefit of the doubt. No, you do some weird shit, like, it's over, right? And I'm only using this person as an example because it's, like, the most fresh example in my mind. Now, I've had other examples with other people and it took me a couple of times to, like, push them away. But with this person, I should have cut it off early when that shit happened because it said a lot about them. But I gave them the benefit of the doubt because it was kind of fresh and new and early. We weren't official. And I just am so happy that I got out sooner rather than later, even though I didn't do it the first time. I allowed myself to see a couple more things. And even after I didn't see a couple more things, I still couldn't get over that feeling, that gut feeling. And I had to let them go. And I'm so grateful I did because, to be honest, like, now that I'm here sitting in front of you guys talking, I know, like, I'm way better without this person. At least I think so. Or I'm going to continue to, like, thrive and be whoever I am without this person. But I would hate to, like, see shit drag on for years and years and years like I've seen other people do and be unhappy. Like, one thing about me, I'm not about to sit around and be unhappy. I'm going to make a change. And I think that a lot of people should be doing that too. But sometimes it's hard, you know? Like I said, like, love is hard. Relationships are hard. Life is hard. And I get that. I had this other friend. I have to finish with this one. I was talking to someone about this as well. I had this one girlfriend. Me and her were like this, my guy. Like, we were like fucking, like, twisted tea. Like, we were the treacherous twins. Like, this was like my bestie, okay? Like, my adult bestie. Because a lot of my friends I've had since, like, elementary school, middle school, high school, even college. And, like, I still have these friends, right? But, like, this is like my first adult friend. Like, after college, during work, we met at the strip club. Like, literally, like, my best friend, ride or die. She did some crazy shit, like, the first year that we knew each other, and it was kind of a red flag because she did it basically because of her boyfriend. This is another thing about these, bro, I cannot stand these females that have so much loyalty over men that do not give a single fuck about them, that have cheated on them, that try to run the household. First of all, in controversial take, this is a real controversial take. If you are a real man, if you are a secure man, if you are a man that, like, is loyal and honest and stands on business, you're gonna be okay with your lady going out with friends. You're gonna be okay with your lady making her own decisions. You're gonna be okay with your lady going and working and having a drink with the girls after. But because I lived in Vegas and half these bitches are getting pimped out, they are having to, like, report to a man that is, number one, taking their money, living off of them, or just really ain't shit. So this friend, she was with a dude, supposedly, like, he kind of swayed her to, like, basically not pay us the money that we all made together, because she had the check, just for whatever reason, because of how like the situation worked, she ended up leaving with the money. Like, we had made a little bit, but she needed to pay us the rest. She didn't. And she tried to justify it by saying like certain things, like, oh, I did this, I put in that work, la la la. Okay, well, that's not what it's about. Like, it's about the fact that we all said we would split it, right? So she tried to justify, you know, when someone, like, you guys all do something, like if you were at like a school project and there's four people in a group and little Billy does all the work and then the rest of them, you know, really don't do much, who's going to get the credit? Billy's not going to get the credit. Billy's going to get a fourth of the credit because all four of you are in a group and that's how the fucking project works. If Billy does all, and not saying that she did all the work, because I can promise you she didn't, but that happened. So after that, I hadn't talked to her, I hadn't seen her. We ran into each other randomly. That man was no longer in her life. Me and her got super close again. We had our own situations, like, you know, girls fight, whatever. We had, like, we were in the strip club working, so there's always a situation going on. We were always trying to, like, work together. We've had our own fair share of situations, but we've always come back from it. So if you have someone in your life that's giving you a bunch of red flags or they're doing things that's a little weird, like, believe them the first time. At the end of the day, like, you don't want to see how it plays out. And I hear podcasts all the times in little clips where it's like, these girls will talk about how, there was this one where she was like, yeah, you know, I was so delusional over this guy that I would be at home like midnight. He would have gone out with his friends. After he goes out, he'll call me to come over. And I would think, oh, you know, he was thinking about me at the end of the night. He wanted to see me. He wanted to spend time with me. I'm the girl that he's thinking about before he goes to bed. No, he just couldn't find no one at the club to go home with. And that's the truth. And I'm like, damn, that shit is so true. And I think that in life, some of the most successful people in the world, or some of the most like self-aware people in the world, have a great read on people. So if you want to have a better read on people, it's just a matter of like drilling it, like literally drilling anything. Like, how do you start getting a good read on people? Is just having more conversations, going through more situations, and learning from your mistakes. But if you continue to like be delusional to the fact that like this person may not be a good fit for you, it's like you're just going to continue to go through that cycle. Like, eventually you'll learn. But yeah, having a good read on people, I think, is one of the most important things. And the only way you do that is just continue to put yourself in uncomfortable situations, to be honest. Or maybe take up poker. That's a good one too. All right, guys. Thank you guys for watching. If you guys like this episode, make sure you leave a comment, subscribe, and we'll see you on the next one. Down before you stress up the groove. The energy a little different when the blessings accrue. Hey, who you talking to? Just know I ain't no regular fool. Could be anything in the world, but I can never be you. Because I head tall like I'm on my tiptoes, baby.